Coming up on show 703, a miracle escape for two different Tesla owners hit by the same tree. It's a freak story, I'll tell you more. Plus, towing a trailer to extend your range, BMW expanding their range with new plug-in hybrids. China considers extending their subsidies and a brand new racing series, electric touring cars. Loads more stories as well on today's podcast, your edition for Thursday, 20th of February. My name is Martin Lee and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Thank you for listening and thank you for a new executive producer supporting this show, Eru. Or Eru K, as he signed his email. Been listening for a very long time, and he wanted to show his support and sign up at executive producer level on Patreon. It's patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. And Eru, I'll try your full name. I think your name is Eru Kyeun Nyombi. If I've messed it up, let me know. I'll have another bash at it. I'll take a longer run-up. So this story I saw a couple of days ago. There was a storm in this country called Storm Dennis. A tree came down and the tree hit the road. I think maybe a lightning strike or something. Or maybe the wind blew the tree down. Anyway, it all happened so quickly. I saw that a Tesla owner was thanking the car. And Elon Musk even replied on Twitter when he saw the story. Make all the national newspapers over here. I hadn't quite appreciated how freaky the story is. And actually, is a personal connection because it happened about 5 minutes away from where I live. I live in the south of Great Britain in a county called Dorset. It's about 2 hours out of London. It's pretty rural in places. This is a sleepy county. Not too much happens here, right? And so there's some big towns, big student towns like Bournemouth and Poole, but really Dorset's a pretty sleepy place. And you don't see many Teslas around here. Now, you see a few more electric cars as time goes on, but when I'm in and around London, there's like Teslas everywhere. It's not exactly California levels, but it's not a novelty. Round here, it's a real novelty to see, especially a Model X as well. Two families had an amazing escape when the autopilot features of their Tesla Model Xs prevented them both from being crushed by the same tree brought down by Storm Dennis, says the Metro newspaper. Lawrence Sanderson said he and his wife Anna and their three children would have been toast if his Model X had not been brought to a sudden stop by autopilot. A 400-year-old oak tree fell onto the road. And like I say, about 5 minutes from where I live, a road called the A31 in Dorset. So this tree came down and autopilot slammed on the brakes. Now the tree did fall on the bonnet at the front of the car. But if autopilot hadn't sensed something and stopped the car, it would have hit the top. And we know Model X's are built strong, but I'm not sure they're built strong enough for a 400-year-old oak tree. Then what's freaky about this story, another Tesla Model X on the opposite side of the road coming in the opposite direction, carrying a chap called Josh Whitelock. He was from Wimborne, and his partner Kitty, their mother Julia, they were also in a Model X. So it's very rare to see one Tesla on the roads around here, let alone two, on the same piece of road. Both hit the same tree that fell on the road. Again, they said that Model X autopilot braking kicked in. They did hit the tree, and they must have been scratching their heads when they got out of the car, realised they were safe in the middle of it. I mean, the storm last week was terrible, but then, looked over the other side of this tree that had come down, and there's another Model X kind of buried underneath it. Both cars completely written off, by the way. Main thing is everyone's safe. Elon did us proud, they said. And I hadn't covered it until now, but I hadn't realised how kind of freaky and spooky this whole story was. And a personal connection, it's 5 minutes away from where I live in a place where you don't really see that many Model Xs. Okay, BMW is next on the podcast. They've announced they're expanding their plug-in hybrid options for the 3 Series range to 4 models of plug-in hybrids now. Set to join the 330e saloon are the 330e Touring Estate and the four-wheel drive versions of both. The Touring is what you might call the wagon, maybe. It says Green Car Reports, already available in 330e saloon form. It's one of the best-selling plug-in hybrids in the UK. The latest 3 Series, which is already a very popular car anyway for BMW, will see a plug-in hybrid lineup with the addition of the 330e X Drive. add the estate cars or touring or wagon, whatever you want to call them, and there's now up to four of those that will do 37 miles on a charge. Well, some of them do 36, 37, and there's a 12 kilowatt hour battery in those BMW plug-in hybrids to do as many electric miles as you possibly can. I'll pop a link to Next Green Car in the show notes if you want to read the full article. Last Saturday on this podcast, a Saturday special with Rupert Mitchell. He's the Chief Strategy Officer of WM Motor, one of the big domestic Chinese automakers, making tens of thousands of EVs. They're one of the ones that have actually got a factory. They're making the cars, they're shipping them. And he gave us an insight on last Saturday's show into the Chinese market. You know, how 1.2 million EVs sold last year in China, and that was seen as a letdown. How do people buy their EVs? Do they do the same deals that we do? Is it, you know, charging? Is that an issue? How do people pay for charging? All those issues were covered off, but we were talking subsidies as well with Rupert last Saturday. And if you haven't heard it, by the way, I would urge you, if you are in any way curious or interested about this massive EV market in China, but kind of a bit like me, don't really fully understand it, like last Saturday's show, amazing. China may extend subsidies for the EV purchases, or NEVs as they call them, new energy vehicles, beyond this year in an effort to revive sales in the world's largest EV market, people familiar with the matter said to Bloomberg.com today. China introduced EV subsidies a decade ago, and they played a key role in turning the country into a top market globally. While they initially lopped as much as $8,700 equivalent, that's about 60,000 yuan, from the vehicle's price tag, not including any extras provided by municipal governments as well. Subsidies now lower the cost of a car by much less, just 25,000 yuan, and depending on the driving range, that can change as well, but still a nice few thousand American dollars equivalent to have off the car. I'll pop a link to Bloomberg in the show notes. It is a speculative article, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do keep those going to ensure that the EV market, or the NEV market in China, stays buoyant. Shell have been on a bit of a spending spree recently. They bought an electricity company here, and they've also bought a charging company, New Motion. And now Shell Energy is launching an electric vehicle charging offer and an EV tariff. Along with the EV tariff comes a charger for your home, reports Current News. The offer includes discounted smart charging wall box for your home for £299. There's access to a help desk, there's a dedicated EV tariff, and they say that they're giving you 2,000 miles of free charging every single year. That does sound a lot. I'm not wanting to, on their bonfire. However, because EVs go so far, it's only really, if you think about an EV costing on average about 4 pence per mile, only really giving you £80 annual credit off your electricity, which is, you know, better than a kick in the teeth, but it's still not, you know, 2,000 miles sounds very grand. It's about 80 quid off your electric bill this year. Not the only ones that have been on a bit of a roll recently. OVO and Scottish Power both launched bundles, and Octopus Electric Vehicles launched a fleet charging bundle and a home charging solution last month as well. Let's talk Mercedes-Benz. They're going to soon add two new members of the EQ all-electric family to join the existing EQC. The EQC was the very first one that Mercedes-Benz made on the new EQ brand, but they will be electrifying all of their models. If you think about EQA, A-Class, EQB, B-Class, sometimes the letters will actually match up to the equivalent fossil car that Mercedes-Benz make. Talking about the EQA and the EQB today, they are electric compact SUVs in the electric world of Mercedes-Benz, though. And the spy photographers from Car Scoops have been out having a look in northern Sweden. Now, the cars have got much, much less camouflage than we've seen before. Really, only little bits of it, the front and the rear ends of the two new Mercedes. The full electric cars have got some camouflage tape over them. The rest of the bodywork, though, is left exposed, and as it will be when they finally go on the market. At the front, they have different lights. They have closed-up grills. Yes, apart from a little bit of cooling for batteries and things, you don't need a grill. It does really no good at all for the aerodynamics of a car. At the front, bumpers are redesigned for increased aerodynamic efficiency and a distinctive appearance. At the back, there's a really cool, funky LED light strip that unites the two tail lights. More people are doing that. It looks great on the Audis as well. The package includes aero wheels, and reports from Germany suggests Mercedes will offer a choice of battery packs on the EQA and the EQB. The capacities will go from 60 to 110. 110 kilowatt hours. Okay, let's move on. You know, I love my motor racing, and for my sins, I also like a bit of Formula One. And yes, they do burn stuff, don't they? Eurosport Events has unveiled a new electric touring car racing series. If you would like to watch some all-electric racing, you're in luck, along with Formula E and Extreme E, which are coming. I'm really excited about Extreme E, and I love my Formula E. Pure ETCR is billing itself as the world's first all-electric, multi-brand touring car championship, reports the website Sports Business Today. Eurosport Events has announced the number of showcase events to take place over next year. There's Goodwood Festival of Speed. I must go to Goodwood this year. I went to Goodwood Revival a couple of years ago, went to Goodwood Festival of Speed, maybe last year? Year before. Must go again this year. It's only been a couple of years since I was last at Goodwood, and it's always a fantastic event. Either of the ones are fantastic events. So yes, the ETCR will be at Goodwood this summer. They'll be at Daytona as well in January next year. Then they'll have a first full season with drivers competing in 8 global races. Auto Car Magazine says the formula will feature cars with a battery pack of 65 kilowatt hours, an 800 volt battery architecture, and 300 kilowatts of continuous power, 500 kilowatts of maximum boost power, the equivalent of 680 brake horsepower. Well, the batteries are coming from Williams Advanced Engineering, also a partner with Formula E, and recharging will come from hydrogen generators at the pits in the paddock that will provide the electricity to charge the cars, a 90% charge in just 1 hour. Okay, let's talk about how many people want to buy an EV, and it's rather a lot. Public perception and even mood really around EVs has changed a lot in the last few months, and now 70% of car buyers are now considering an EV for their next car, according to a survey conducted by Shell, who we mentioned earlier. In light of the UK government's announcement to ban anything that has an engine inside it, so that includes hybrids and plug-in hybrids, from 2035, and in fact Grant Shapps, the man in charge of this, went on the Today programme to say, look, let's aim for 2032. But we'll do a consultation on that, and you know, the government are thinking that they will bring it forward yet again by another 3 years. Shell conducted a survey of 1,000 people in the UK to understand their current attitudes towards EVs, and the attitudes are very good. According to the survey, 80% of recipients said that their desire to do more for the planet made EVs appealing. 75% of people said EVs are attractive because of their quietness. 55% said they're likely to buy an EV because petrol and diesel is being phased out. And this is something I allude to it occasionally on the podcast. But you know what? Wherever you live, whether it's your local area, region, or national government, they don't actually have to ban petrol cars in the future because the market will look after it. And all they need to do is they say they're going to do it. Like, if governments come out and say, we're banning hybrids from 2032, which our government's done, then that provides a rocket up the bum of the car makers and a rocket, actually, with consumers and buyers. Because following that news a couple of weeks ago, who's going to buy a diesel car now? Nobody. Who's going to buy one of the soft hybrids? Nobody. That market just got killed overnight by one single announcement, because you won't be able to use them in a few years' time. And so, that's why so many people... You haven't got to go through with it, because by the time you get in 12 years' time, they just won't be on sale. I mean, you can, obviously, you should go through with your promises. You know, I'm not saying politicians shouldn't keep their promises. I think in this case, though, the damage needs to be done to the car companies that make fossil cars now, by changing public perception. Do you kind of get what I'm saying? So, big survey done here by Shell, and over two-thirds of people say the next car they want, they will consider electric. Doesn't mean that they will, doesn't mean that they have, doesn't mean that they are going to buy, but, you know, it's perception, and they're going to consider it, and that is a really good thing. And I know from the feedback that I get, the emails and social media that I get on this podcast, more and more people are tuning in all the time, and people who aren't mega EV geeks, they just searched and Googled for something. If you go into Google and type the phrase EV news, I noticed that this ranking, the podcast, is just getting higher and higher all the time. It must be something to do with the way that people are searching for this kind of stuff, and people are really getting interested alongside what you and I are interested in. Well, let's talk about a couple of car brands, Renault and their more budget brand, Dacia. They're going to unveil electric cars at the Geneva Motor Show. Renault confirmed that they're as 2 weeks away from the unveiling of new electric cars at the Geneva Motor Show. They'll be showing off the Renault Twingo, little city car, Twingo ZE. The new Renault Kangoo for commercial vans, an electric concept called the Morphos. Yeah. But what's very interesting is a Dacia. They are a budget brand of Renault, and that is an exciting car. Well, you know, I find it exciting. I find most EV stuff exciting, shock horror. But I find it really exciting because there's a very cheap Chinese car called the City KZE. It's going to be that, but rebadged Dacia. Probably with a bigger battery, I think. Probably with a bigger motor, I think, for European markets. However, you know, one of the things people always say is, oh, I would drive an EV, but they're all too expensive. They're all 100 grand Teslas, aren't they? And when the budget brands start to come in, if it can be a very compelling car without all the bells and whistles, it's a good thing, right? Dacia is entering the electric market with a 100% car revolution that they say capitalizes on their parent company, Group Renault's 10 years of expertise in electric mobility. And staying with Renault, they had a massive January. Congratulations to all the team at Renault. They had a big January 2020. It says inside EVs, almost 11,000 of their EVs were sold globally. That smashes the previous record of 7,000. It's the first five-digit result for the French group, and the success was all possible. Nearly all of those 11,000 cars, over 10,000 of them, I think, were the new Renault Zoe ZE50, with a 51 kilowatt-hour battery, and fast charging now with CCS combo plug on the front of it. And I don't know what the range is of that. Must be over 200 miles, surely. It gives a chance to maybe get to 100,000 of them throughout the year if sales can continue to stay high. And why not? Because it's the only EV that'll have DC fast charging and will take 22 kilowatts AC charging as well. It's the perfect combination. Well, moving on. This is a curious one. Customers who want to buy an EV and facing the dilemma of how much do you pay for how much range. You want a big battery pack, but that's expensive. You can only afford a smaller car, but it doesn't go quite as far. So when you do your motorway journeys, you're going to have to stop more often and charge. Well, an article that Automotive News Europe published today about a company that I saw last November getting a fair bit of press. They're called EP Tender, named after a tender boat that services a big boat. The company wants to locate compounds, if you like, storage areas that are full of rentable trailers on major holiday routes. The trailers are filled with batteries. EV drivers can pull up and connect the battery to the tow hook and then connect it to your car and then benefit from an extra 60 kilowatt hours of battery power to take them to their destination, or even the next trailer compound where they can drop the trailer off and go on to their destination. Well, the maximum rental cost would be about $37, about €34, the company predicts. I'll pop a link in the show notes if you want to see it and find out more. Most EVs can't tow, or at least aren't certified to tow. So it's all well and good saying you can tow a big trailer that's got lots of big lithium-ion batteries in to give you a boost. I haven't got a tow bar. I don't think anyone's got a tow bar, apart from a few Tesla drivers. And so, also, so we can't connect it to the car. And also, how do you know, connect it to the car? With the cigarette lighter or something? 12 volts? No. So how does it work? I'm like, I don't understand it. I'm not sure exactly it's going to take off. This was the company, by the way, that have got, they've got about a handful of trailers, maybe a few more, bombing about Europe, but with internal combustion engines in, therefore turning the little generators that you tow around, therefore turning your electric car, your full electric car, into effectively a plug-in hybrid because you're towing a big engine around on a trailer. They said it's all about extending range. Okay, final one today, and we'll see. The National Control Centre is coming to Germany. It's a national control centre for EV charging, and to ensure the swift and coordinated establishment of charging networks. It's for Germany, says Clean Technica. More of the tasks of the control centre are the calculation of needs. Where do we need chargers? Planning, development of a fast charging network across the country. Federal and state activities supporting municipalities in planning on these local town planners who don't have any experience of where should an EV charger go. What's the best place to put them? And infrastructure, according to Green Car Congress. When I saw this, I thought, oh, the headline makes it sound like there's some sort of German central organisation that will switch your car on and off. But I'm not saying they're doing it in this. There has to be a point in the future, doesn't there, where there is some sort of central control over EV charging, even if it's fleets and things like that, because, well, so much road tax, or we pay vehicle excise duty, and we have a few toll roads. We don't really have toll roads in this country. So most of our vehicle excise duty is meant to be going towards the upkeep of roads. I think it goes into a big pot with everything else. But, of course, with EVs at the minute, there's no tax on them. So with a 100% electric vehicle, you don't pay any tax, any VED. And so the government aren't going to let this just spiral down and down and down. They make so much money from taxing fossil fuels. So at some point, they're going to want to replace the money they're losing from petrol and diesel sales from EV drivers, and one way they could do that is to ensure that all smart chargers, or at least ensure that all chargers being installed on the side of houses, have a connected smart capability that can be centrally controlled to grid manage. I'll remind you that as of last summer, all new chargers have to be smart and connected. Not doing anything with it at the moment, but when it reaches critical mass, I wonder if we'll get to a point where there's bit of regulation, bit of government interference coming in of, well, we're going to turn your car off, or you can't charge your car, or even we're going to charge you, we're going to bill you for that electricity because, you know, we're missing our money to fill in the potholes kind of thing. It's all interesting stuff to think about. Okay, question of the week. Are you happy to pay extra for add-on features or apps for your EV after you've bought it? The connected world that we're moving towards means that for just a quick over-the-air update, you can have whole new features on your car, but equally, as we've seen lately with Tesla, they've been turning off features on people's cars. They say in the name of safety, either cars that have been repaired, they don't want them using the supercharging network because, you know, it's a closed network, and that's, you know, as is their right to do so. But if your car company can turn off features without you agreeing or even knowing, because they've been turning off DC fast charging on third-party networks as well, and people are saying, well, actually, in that case, whose car is it? Because I thought I bought it. How do you feel about this whole thing? Are you happy to pay extra to turn on new features, if there's apps to download and those kind of things, or would you rather the car that you bought was the car that you bought? Let me know. You can email me hello@evnewsdaily.com or leave the comments on the YouTube show. There are 235 patrons of the podcast. Thank you for your generosity. Couldn't do it without Patreon, and it's the way that the listeners of this show directly fund it happening. It became a very expensive side hobby a couple of years ago, and thanks to Patreon, it now survives and makes a little bit at the end of each month. Not much, but a little bit. There are 702 previous shows in the archive, and if you can leave a little review on Apple Podcasts, it really helps me grow the show. Have a wonderful day. Catch you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.